The Pharisees are getting a bit hot under the collar. They've heard that Jesus is getting active. That's what's happened here. They heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. So the Pharisees weren't happy about it, I guess. It says Jesus was baptizing more disciples than John. But we have an explanation. Jesus wasn't baptizing them himself, was he? Because it says it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. We covered that one last time, if you remember. Yeah. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Jesus, when he hears about what's happening, and things are getting a bit hot there down in Judea, he then goes back up to Galilee. He left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. So Jesus' main ministry was in the north, yeah? Though he did go down to Jerusalem for the feasts and so on, yeah? Now, he had to go through Samaria. Why did he have to go through Samaria? He's on a mission. It's the shortest route. That's the first reason. The simple reason is it's the shortest route. You can go up to Galilee by crossing the River Jordan and going up the other side and then coming across again. That's the longer route. A lot of Jews did that because they didn't want to pass through Samaritan villages. But I did read the suggestion. The possibility is because Jesus wasn't very popular in Jerusalem, the Samaritans might have liked him a bit more. But be that as it may, that was one reason, yeah? It was the shortest route. But there, we've got a spiritual reason as well, haven't we? I suspect Jesus has a sense that there's something going to happen up there, and it's important to go there, yeah? Right. So, he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. Now, Sychar is near a place called Shechem. It's modern-day Nablus. I don't know if you know that, but anyway, it's a pretty big place now. But it's in the time of Joshua, when the Israelites went into the land, there are two mountains, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, and the Israelites camped at the base of these mountains, and a group went up onto Gerizim, and another group went on to Ebal, and from Gerizim they pronounced blessings, and from Ebal they pronounced the curses, yeah? And so that became quite an important place, really. So that's where Sychar is, this place that is there. It's near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And you can read about that in Genesis. Jacob gave this plot of ground to his son Joseph. Then the locals nicked it back, and he had to fight for it to get it again. And Joseph himself was actually buried in this area. So Joseph's tomb is there. You can go and visit it today. And there's Jacob's well. It says Jacob's well was there. Well, Jacob's well is still there. You can go and visit that if you like. Still genuine Jacob's well is there near Nablus, we call it today, but near Shechem, Sychar, yeah? Yeah, still there. And it's not only deep, it's very deep. Estimated at 100 feet deep. That's quite a deep well, yeah, so it's still there. If you want to look it up on the internet, you can go and visit it in the pictures, yeah? Anyway, Jesus gets to the well. Jacob's well was there. It's a place of refreshment. So, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So Jesus is tired from the journey, and that's because he wasn't riding on a camel. Yeah? He's walked it. It's a good old way. How many miles we got? We must have done about 40 miles from Jerusalem.
I've ridden a camel.
Yes, and it's tiring, is it?
And I'm very tired.
Tiring, okay, well, all right. But anyway, Jesus is tired. This is the human Jesus, you see. He feels tiredness like the rest of us.
Yeah.
The wonderful thing in John's Gospel is you get this combination of the humanity of Jesus and his glory at the same time in just almost the next few verses. Anyway, he's tired. When you get tired, you feel a bit, you know, need some help, don't you? Anyway, Jesus sits down by the well. He sits down there. It was about the sixth hour. Now, what time is it, dear friends? Well, some say noon. Now, the problem, there is a problem with this verse as to quite what it means. Well, I mean, it actually says it was the sixth hour. But what's the sixth hour? It depends. In Hebrew reckoning, in Jewish time, they reckon the day started at 6 in the morning and ended at 6 at night. Yes?
It was probably the hottest.
So, if it's the sixth hour according to Jewish reckoning, then it's noon.
About 12 noon.
About noon. But John is writing to Gentiles, remember. Yes? As you'll see, there are little notes in brackets to explain the Jewish things to Gentiles, as we'll see in this chapter. And the Gentiles reckon Roman time, which is the same as ours. We're still living on the Roman clock. So the sixth hour Roman time will either be 6 in the morning or 6 in the evening. Well, 6 in the morning we can count out. Is it 6 in the evening?
Well,
there's a possibility. All I'm saying is that the possibility is it's 6 in the evening, because that would be the time when people came to get water. But the other is that the locals invite him to stay the night and stay for a few days. So it would be sort of logical to stay then. Just one thought in my mind, and I don't know, as I said, I asked earlier on, has anybody been to Israel? It's, remember, we're in the northern hemisphere, the days get shorter in the winter time, and this must have happened somewhere around about December, January, because he says about, look, the harvest is 3 months to go in. 3 more months and we've got the harvest, so the harvest is in May time, something like that. So, it's December or January that we're talking about. The days will get shorter then. I wouldn't think 6 o'clock's going to be too good.
Very cold at night.
Mm.
It was when I was there.
It was when you were there, right, well.
During the day, cold at night.
All the better to go to a village at night, but I think it's 12 noon. That's my guess on this one, yes?
Yeah.
So it's midday, and you would be tired by the time it's midday and you've done a lot of walking. So there you are.
Some people say that the lady came out when it was the hottest part of the day because she was not a very good woman.
Ostracised, yes. Well, that's a possibility. It doesn't say that.
No.
And it depends on whether it is that 12 o'clock or not. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, she comes out and says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Several things to note. As you say, if it is the hot time of the day, it's not a really good time to come for water, but if you need water, you need water. That's one. But she's on her own. That's the other thing. And it was a normal practice for the ladies, the girls, to get water to go as a group. It's a bit of fun together, isn't it? You know, a bit of fellowship and so on. She's on her own. And we discover that she has a bit of a colourful history. And so maybe that's why she had been on her own, that people didn't want to associate with her.
There are all Samaritans that live there, aren't
there? There are all Samaritans that live there.
She's not...
No, but Samaritans, like other human beings, can be prejudiced against other people. Yeah, it happens all the time, doesn't it? So I suspect she's not wanted, maybe. We're reading into that, but from the history that we find out, there's a good possibility that she wasn't a welcome person, particularly around people's husbands, I would think, yeah? That's possibly the case, yeah? I don't know.
Certainly sure God's time and
method. Anyway. She turns up on her own, and she comes to get some water. So there she is, she turns up. And Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? And we have that little explanation in brackets there in my Bible. His disciples had gone into the town to buy food, so it's just him and her there on their own. Yeah, so this is a personal conversation between this woman and Jesus. Jesus said to her, what's significant and important about that?
He spoke to her first.
He took the initiative. Mm. That's right. Jesus takes the initiative. The Lord wants you and me to take the initiative. When it comes to sharing our life and our love with people, we as Christians have to reach out. We don't expect them to come to us all the time. Yeah. So she hears this strange fellow saying, will you give me a drink? Well, what's interesting about that?
They don't associate with man.
Well, we know that, yes, but before we get to the not associate thing,
a man asking a woman.
And the man, we'll look at that in a moment.
That leads from one thing to another.
It does, yes.
Jesus' purpose is.
Yes, but there's something really important about this. Jesus didn't sort of wade in giving him the gospel, full belt and everything else.
No, he got...
Yeah? What does he do? He expresses a need that he has that she can do something about.
He's
appealing to her.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah? Right? He's not coming here to give, first of all. He's coming to ask.
Yeah?
Yeah? And he's putting her on the spot in a way that she's got to do something about it. Yeah? Will you give me a drink? And he's putting himself in a vulnerable position anyway, in that sense, because she could say, on your bike, mate, yeah? Could she? Yeah. So Jesus is making himself open in that sense. Yeah. He's starting a conversation, and he's starting it from a disadvantage in that sense. Yeah. Right. Okay. So the woman, the Samaritan woman, said to him, so she talked back, right? You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Now then, how does she know that? Well, she knows she's a Samaritan woman. We knew that bit. Yeah. How does she know he's a Jew?
How he's dressed.
How he's dressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. His appearance.
His features.
Yeah. And maybe his speech.
His features.
His speeches, yes. Right. How he looks, how he's dressed, and how he speaks, I suspect, as well. People have different accents, you know, yeah, things like that.
Already.
Yeah. Right. So, she says, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Now, that's a good question. How did she say that? Do you think she was being a bit smart Alec? In a way, perhaps, you know.
Yeah.
She's got him at a disadvantage, in the sense. Saying, ha! You're asking me for a drink? Yeah.
A bit shocked.
Yes, it is shocking.
Or suspicious, maybe.
Possibly suspicious, yeah. Okay. What has Jesus just done in talking to this woman is he's broken all the barriers. Yeah, I mean, all the taboos that you don't do this, you don't do that. Jesus wipes it all away. He talks to her. And what does that tell you about Jesus' attitude to women?
He loves them.
Yeah. He's not like the standard rabbi. We don't talk to you lot. You lot down there.
Obviously, then days, there was still racialism, wasn't
it? Well, here we have it. Here it comes. It says in brackets again, and this is John. It's not the Samaritan woman saying this. For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus knew that, she knew that, so it's not her saying it, it's John explaining it to you, the reader. Yeah. Wow. For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Is that right?
But she said you are.
They didn't associate with Samaritans, yes? Now, why not?
It's a very deep divide that is from history, isn't it?
Yes. The Samaritans were regarded worse than the Gentiles. Yeah, it might seem strange, but just a little background history. In the history of Israel, after the time of Solomon, the kingdom split, you know? The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, right? The northern kingdom went completely off the rails and was eventually taken into exile by the Assyrians. Yes? And the Assyrians marched off all the top brass, all the useful people, and left the whatnots behind, you know? The likes of us, we get left behind. The rest of the good, useful ones, taken off and used, yeah? And the rubbish, you could say, was left behind, and then they imported some foreigners, right? And the foreigners and the locals sort of blended together, and they produced a religion, a mix of the pagan and the Jewish, which turned into what we call Samaritan. Mm. Yeah, so it was a pig's ear of a religion, you could say. I'm sorry about the wrong
word. The 12 tribes.
Sorry, were they one of the 12 tribes? No, the forebears, the ones that were left, were part of the 12 tribes, but they got interbred with the Samaritan, the people from overseas and everything.
I'm just wondering whether you call them Jews or not.
They're not Jews, no, they're half, call them half-breeds, it's not a PC term, but that's what they were.
They keep the Passover, the Samaritans.
Yes, they've still, if you read the Book of Kings, the objection is, to this group of people is they want to keep the Jewish customs but they want to have the pagan customs as well, and they bolt the two together, and so they have Passover but they have all the weirdo stuff as well. And so the Jews looked at this lot and thought, no, right? So that was the reason. And of course, when the Jews rejected the Samaritans, the Samaritans rejected the Jews, so neither of them were too happy with each other. So just to explain, that gives you the secret to the background of the story that Jesus in the parable gives of the good Samaritan. Yeah. When he said the good of a Samaritan, you can all go, you know, because Samaritans aren't good Samaritans as far as they think. Mm. But Jesus is reaching out to human beings. Sinners, the lot of them, but there we are. Anyway, you've got the idea. This is a real old mix-up of the religion stuff. And so there's this... I mean, when she's saying that the Jews don't mix with the Samaritans, this isn't just last week, this is hundreds of years of complete hostility. Right, so Jesus is cutting through all this stuff to talk to this lady. Yeah. How is it you can talk to me? Well, how about that? Jesus is going to talk to her, full stop. Yeah. But Jesus doesn't answer the question. He says this, Jesus answered her, Well, it's not answering the question she asked. He says this, he gets to, he's going to rouse her curiosity, yeah? If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. He's basically saying is, if you knew who you were talking to, and what I can do, you'd be asking me questions, not that sort of stuff. Yeah, right. So, Jesus puts in this puzzle, as it were. He says, if you really knew who you were talking to, then you'd ask me, and I'd give you, well, he's saying he, but he's talking about himself, of course, he would have given you living water. Now, what does he mean by living water? It's life, is what it's about, yeah. But what does she understand? Because Jesus is doing a play on words here. It's a puzzle. Yeah, living water means fresh, bubbling spring water. That's what they normally thought living water was. You know, because you can have water in a cistern that stood there for years, yeah? Or you can have water that's bubbling up out of an aquifer of some sort, and that's fresh, bubbling, fresh water, you see? That's living water. And that's what she hears, and Jesus uses that word. Of course, living water, what Jesus is going to be talking about, is a bit different. But she thinks just the bubbly stuff, yeah? So, she says, right. Sir, the woman said. That's a term of respect. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Now, it's not what you say, it's the way that you say it. Yes. I think it's being a bit smart aleck, this one. You can't get, you know, it's 100 feet deep, this well.
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah, that's another point. 100 feet deep.
Yes.
How did they get round in those days to dig it down that far?
Well, Jacob dug it out. Well, I bet Jacob didn't dig it. I think Jacob probably had some workers do it for him.
They
tunneled, yes.
They dig.
Yes. Oh, yeah, they. Well, I mean, you look at... I mean, that always amazes me about these ancient buildings and everything else. Colossal things. Yeah. And we think we're clever because we've got JCBs and things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're engineers, yes. Get some respect for them, eh? I remember someone doing that with the Vikings. It was a bunch of, they got a bunch of Cambridge rowers, you know, the rowers. They got them to do a little trip that the Vikings did. It nearly killed them. These are top athletes, you know. Yeah, well, a bit of respect for the ancients,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, where we are now, yes, you've got nothing to get the water out with. And then, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? So she's hanging on to the traditions. How close Jacob was related to them is another question, but that's what she says. Our father Jacob, and this is the part where he lived. It's our plot. I do wish the Palestinian Authority would read this verse, because Nablus is right next door to where this is, you know, and they all say that it's all theirs, the Jews have never been here. Well, I'm afraid Joseph's well is still there. Jacob's well, rather, yes. Anyway, there we are. Yes, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as also did his sons and his flocks and his herds? So she's just throwing in a bit of a puzzle for him.
The Samaritans, in fact, accepted the books of Moses only.
That's right, yes. They just had the first five.
That's why she mentioned Jacob, wouldn't it?
Yes, none of the prophets or anything else like
that's
that.
That's right, yeah.
And of course, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in the Samaritan Pentateuch, as it's called, the first five books, the mountain where they worship is at Gerizim, not in Jerusalem. Yeah. Which is, they changed it, of course, yeah, as we'll come to. Right, now then, where are we? We've got, yes, Jesus answered her. Yes, and he doesn't answer the question again. Is he greater than Jacob? Well, we know what the answer is, yeah? Yeah. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Back to the topic of the water, yes? Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Right, so there's something special about the water that he can offer. And indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So he's not talking about bubbly stuff at the bottom of the well. I think that's the clue in the way he phrases it. But it's still a puzzle. There's something unusual about this water that he's offering, yes?
Yeah,
and you'll never be thirsty again. What does he mean by that? Well, you know what he means, do you? But what do you think Jesus means, really? When you drink of that water, you'll never be thirsty again.
You'll never want
Once you've got the faith, that's it, you've got it.
Jesus satisfies you.
Jesus satisfies. There's a longing in every human being for a relationship with God. That's there's a hole, we call it, don't we? The holiness, yeah? And only God can fill that. And right, so when Jesus brings us into relationship, that thirst, yes, it's in Ecclesiastes, you have set eternity in our hearts. Yes? And there's something there that only God can fill. And so that's what Jesus is getting at. Everything comes together in Jesus.
Yes.
It doesn't say you're perfect or anything else like that. And you get thirsty in the sense that you want more of the Lord. But you know you've found your home in Jesus, yeah? Well, that's what he's talking about, but she doesn't know that just yet, yeah? And it's water that springs up to eternal life. It brings life with it as well, yeah? So that's the source of life inside you. That's the Holy Spirit ultimately, isn't it, of course?
He said eternal this time, so it's actually spelling it out a bit more, not just living.
Yeah, no, that's right, it's eternal life. Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, promise there, some good stuff coming. Yeah. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Very practical girl, this lady. She's no idea what he's on about, but thinks, if this is that kind of water, I want some of this. Save me a job or two. I'm with her all the way on that one. Yes. Yes. Give me this water. So what Jesus done is, he's got her interest. She's wondering what it's all about, and she wants something. She knows he's got something that she wants. Right, so I love it. Yes, I'll buy that one. And then Jesus says to her, call your husband and come back. Why did he do that? Well, yes. But I mean, on the natural level, why would he want a husband there? It's nothing to do with it, really. It's just a test. I'd like to meet your husband. Possibly, yeah. Go and call your husband.
Well, it just came to me in a way, if she meets the Lord, he's the way, the truth and the life. So he's trying to get this started.
Yes, oh, that's what he's working on, yes. Yeah. So go call your husband and come back. So what's Jesus just done? Let's put it this way. Jesus knows that she's had five husbands and the guy that she's living with isn't her husband. He knows that. The Spirit's revealed that to him, obviously, yes? How does he broach the subject? He doesn't come out with it straight away.
Yeah?
He does it in a gentle way. We call it a word of knowledge now, don't we?
Yeah?
The Holy Spirit's given the Lord Jesus some information that nobody could know except the Spirit's revealed it in this situation. But Jesus just doesn't dump it on her.
No.
He sort of introduces it and he gives her a choice. He gives her a choice. He deals with it. He raises the question of husbands. That's really what he's doing, isn't he? I'll raise the question of husbands and she's got a choice. She can either run away or we can deal with what the issue is. Jesus has to deal with the issue.
Is it because to come to Christ you've got to realise that you're a sinner and you have a need? So
yes. He's putting his finger on the sin in her life, yes, and he's doing it in a gentle way. She can say, I've got no husband, I've got to go now, thank you very much. How many times have you had that when you're sharing with somebody? I'm sorry, I've just got to catch a train now. that's fine in a sense to give them freedom to say no. Well, Jesus is doing that, but he's got her interest sufficiently to be able to do that, and she thinks she's going to be she's a good politician, this lady. She said, "I don't have a husband," she replied. And that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, it's a truth that's covering a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, people can do that, their politicians can do that. They tell you the truth, but they don't tell you everything. And you assume, you see, when she says, "I have no husband," you assume that she doesn't have any husband or anybody else. That's the assumption that message gives. But we know it's not true. So you can tell the truth by telling the truth. How about that? That's what's going on. Really?
Yeah.
Now, here we are. "I have no husband," she replied. Now Jesus has to deal with it straight out. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband." Okay, so he's agreeing with her. Yes? You're right. The fact is that you have had five husbands and the man that you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. So that's in a way a gentle rebuke, you know. saying you didn't. Yeah, I've blown your cover, but you know, yeah, you did say the truth, but it wasn't really, was it? All right, so you've had five husbands. Now then, we don't know how these five husbands. What is that? What? How do you think she came to have five husbands?
She
lived with all of them. She obviously lived with them all at one time.
It might have been a mixture. Death or whatever.
They may have died. they may have died. Or they may have kicked her out. She can't divorce them. They divorce her. That's basically what's going on here. So she's either lost them or they've chucked her out and she's gone to somebody else. Yeah. This is a broken woman. Isn't it, really?
Yes.
Her life's been messed up.
Yeah.
For one, whatever reason.
The present way in the Arab life today is that an Arab can turn around and say, I divorce you.
Yeah. And that's it, isn't it?
And that's it.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah. Whether that was the case with the Samaritans, I don't know. But she's in a mess. I mean, this is a damaged woman. Yeah. And Jesus loves her. That's the point. That's why he's putting his finger on what's needed to be sorted out. So he's, yeah, you've told the truth. That's a gentle correction in a way, isn't it? Yes. Yes, just what you said is quite true.
Nothing is hidden from God. Sorry.
No. And it's interesting, when we're sharing our faith with others, we should be open to the Holy Spirit, that if he gives us things to share that might be helpful to break through the barriers, then we need to be wise in how we share them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come out gently.
Yes. Yeah. But Jesus has to deal with it. Sin has to be exposed in the end, yeah, in a gracious way. Yeah. Right, so, how do you think she felt when she heard that one?
Devastated.
She might have been relieved.
Well, there's a thought, isn't there? Yes, I hadn't thought of that one. Might be relieved. Someone knows.
No, I did, because, when the Lord wants to heal you, something you've got... I mean, in a way, it might be hard, but he gives you something. But... sometimes you don't know it needs healing.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, you're perhaps really relieved.
The lid's off and the smell can go. Mm. Yeah, that's good, yeah.
This is no ordinary man, she thought.
Is anything hidden from this man?
That's right, yeah. She sees that he knows a lot more than... So what does she do? She says, Sir, the woman replied, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. Well, she can see he's a prophet in the sense, when she says a prophet, she means a prophet has insight that God gives. That's the idea.
Yeah.
A prophet doesn't just speak the future.
Mm.
He gets revelation from God. And that's what it's about there. A revelation about her past at this point, yeah?
Mm.
I can see you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. That's Mount Gerizim. Yeah, there are those two mountains, yeah? Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. What's she doing?
She's telling him that she said, "If you're a Jew, why you worship?
Yeah, that's right. That's the, yeah. If she's what is she doing? What does she do? What do you do when it gets too hot? Avoid the subject. Change the subject. That's what she's doing. Let's forget about husbands. Let's talk about mountains. That's really what she's doing, isn't it? Yeah." Let's change the subject, yeah? What about this mountain? Yeah, here we are. Let's have a religious discussion. It's not interesting you talk about religion when God's getting too warm for you. It's another way of avoiding him.
But she's only just getting used to all this.
It is a bit deep-end experience, isn't it? Yeah. So change the subject, right? Yeah, okay. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, that's the Samaritans. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. So let's talk religion for a minute, yeah? So there's the distinction. The Samaritans worshipped in Jerusalem, in Gerizim, in Samaria, and the Jews worship in Jerusalem. Yeah. Jesus declared, is that interesting? Straight words this. Believe me, woman. Now, when he uses the word woman, it's not put down.
No.
You could use the word lady if you wanted, yeah? Believe me, my dear, yeah? Right?
Listen to me.
Yes. Listen. It actually says believe me rather than I'm telling you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. His answer is, it doesn't matter which mountain you're at.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. The time's coming when you will worship of the Father. Now he's introducing God as Father. Yeah, that's a, probably a novel thing for her as well. But Jesus is saying God can be known as the Father. Yeah, I wonder what she thought about the dad. Any good relation there? But anyway, believe me, time's coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. And then he explains that's what's going on. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. Yeah? They've got all their religion, all their stuff, but essentially they don't have a relationship with God. But you can't, because God doesn't accept what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you Samaritans worship what you don't know. That's sad, isn't it? I mean, how many religious people go through all the motions, yeah, all the yeah. stuff, mm-hmm. yeah. and they don't know God? That must be. Well, it's deadly.
How many people go to church?
Yeah, yeah. Sad, isn't it? Yeah. All right, so you worship what you don't know. No, yeah. Yeah. We worship what we do know. Who's the we? It's the Jews. This may come as a shock to you, but do you know Jesus calls himself a Jew?
Oh yeah.
We, when he uses the word we, he means we Jews.
He's a Lancer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? We worship what we do know. Do you know why? We worship what we do know.
Yeah.
Why do the Jews, is Jesus speaking this? Because God's revealed himself and how to approach him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? That's what they've got. They've got the truth. Yeah. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. You've got that?
Mm-hmm.
That is incredibly exclusive, you'd say, wouldn't you? Salvation is from the Jews. It's not from the Muslims, it's not from the Buddhists, it's not from the whatnots and the werewolves and all that stuff, yeah, all the pagans. Yeah. Salvation is from the Jews. Why?
Because
Jesus was a Jew, yeah, but before Jesus became a Jew, yeah, yeah.
That's why God's going to work.
God chose to reveal himself and the way to approach him to a certain person and then to his descendants, Abraham and his family. God says, I'm going to show you how you can get to know me. That's totally exclusive. But the good news is, the exclusive way to know God means that anybody can come.
Yeah.
That's the lovely bit, yeah? You can come this way, can't come any other way. They all say all roads lead to God. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not true at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Jesus is the Lord. Yeah. So, salvation is from the Jews. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
And I hope you're aware of this, that the book that you've got in your hands is totally Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Written by him. Comes from the God of the Jews. And he wants you to know it. Isn't that wonderful? Yes?
Yes.
Right, so salvation is from the Jews. Yeah? Yes, okay. A time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For those are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. He keeps using Father, you notice?
Yes.
How about a relationship with Father? He says, the time's coming, it's now here, when the kind of worshippers God wants isn't doing the motions in Jerusalem or doing the motions in Gerizim. It's not going through the motions at all. That's earthly. He wants spiritual things. Heart connection. Yes? That's the spirit, yes. And the truth is you do it God's way. So you worship him genuinely, really, with a heart that's wanting the Lord. That's the kind of worship that God wants. And you can do it. And just think about it. Jesus is breaking ground here because the time is coming when he's going to tell his disciples, you start in Jerusalem, then Samaria, then the ends of the earth. Yeah. Well, Jesus got to Samaria before they did. Yeah? And he's breaking grounds into new outreach is going on here. And
I'm
so...
Sorry. Yeah? I find this 76 months. You know, I find that bit God in spirit. I think I've got the message by now, who he is. But right from a child, knowing the God, you know, sort of sensing the Godhead, and
yeah.
because of Jesus said if we know him we know the Father.
Yes.
I think just the word God is spirit, the person that said it to me, I felt it was so cold and horrible.
Yeah.
I find that ever so difficult because I feel, you know, I just
yes.
something different from that.
Yes, well, the distinction that with this verse, when
yeah.
it says God is spirit, the distinction we're trying to, what
yeah.
Jesus is trying to draw is, it's not about the physical stuff, the natural
yeah.
stuff. God is a God who is beyond all. I mean, Paul has to say it when he gets to Athens, and he points to all these statues all around here. He says, God doesn't live in buildings, and he isn't made out of stone.
No.
You know, it's not like that. Our God is a spiritual being who can reach into people's lives,
yeah,
and you can get to know him. So
yeah,
God is spirit. Yes, he's different to your earthly stuff. That's why golden calves and all that stuff are just a total lie.
Mm-hmm.
Waste of time. Yeah. God is spirit, and those who worship him have to worship in spirit and in truth. There has to be that supernatural reality, spiritual stuff, rather than just, you know, going through the motions, saying the prayers, doing the stuff. Doesn't count. Yeah. Right. So Jesus makes that quite clear. That's the kind of worship that God wants. And you know, Jesus is saying to this woman some of the things that the disciples haven't got yet. I mean, the disciples are learning, but Jesus is saying things that are so profound. And in fact, the next bit, the disciples haven't really twigged this completely yet, because he says, the woman said, I know that Messiah, in brackets, called the Christ, is coming. Why is it in brackets in my Bible there? I know that Messiah, called the Christ, is coming.
Anointed one.
Well, that's what it means. Why did he put Christ in brackets? I got news for you. Sorry?
It's
the Greek version. He's saying, she says, I know that Messiah. That's her talking. She's using the Jewish word for the Messiah. Yeah? She says, I know Messiah's coming. And in case you Gentiles living in Ephesus that John's writing to haven't the foggiest idea what Messiah means, John writes in brackets to say, that means Christ. Yes, that's what Christ and Messiah means, the same thing. So he's explaining it to us. To you pagans again, you see?
Can I go back just a bit?
Yeah.
Worshipping in spirit.
Right.
In truth. Because you're saying it's not worshipping by following some rules, or following a prayer book perhaps, even. Which
not in itself.
It's not being emotional either, is it? We tend to think that's worshipping
spiritual.
In spirit. And
yeah,
if it's just emotional.
If it's just, yeah, sensual in that sense, yeah.
It's very difficult to put your finger on what it actually means to worship in the spirit, I think.
Well, you know it when you have it, but
yeah,
yeah, I think that's the way it works, isn't it? But it's, yes, it's not just human stuff, I think you're really
no.
what we're getting at,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Because we're not just physical creatures.
So is the only way of getting there by spending time with God?
Relationship with the Lord, yeah, it's got to be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not against prayers, and I'm not against singing, and I'm not against praying. No, none of that, yeah? Yeah. But if that's all...
Getting excited.
Well, I think we should get excited. Because God made us body, soul, and spirit. And I mean, if you read the Psalms, it says, shout to the Lord, all the earth, you know? Well, that sounds fairly enthusiastic to me. But you've got the idea. Spiritual has to be above it all, in a sense, yeah? But we're not sort of floating 12 feet from the ground, you know, there's a reality about it, yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit that's given us.
It's the Holy Spirit at work.
Yeah, our walk with the Lord,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, it's an interesting one. She's learning some deep stuff, we could say, yeah. Right, so Messiah's coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. So it's interesting, this is Samaritan teaching. The Samaritans have heard about the Messiah, whatever their view of Messiah was, but they've got some idea, when he turns up, he's going to sort it out.
Yeah.
That's a good view.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, so when Messiah turns up, it's going to be okay. We'll know it then.
It sounds as though she's been doing some thinking and she's come to a definite understanding.
She's got some idea, yeah, she's definitely... How long that's been going, we don't know, but anyway, when Messiah comes, it'll be sorted, yes? And then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he.
Yeah.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
That's Jesus saying,
yeah.
I'm him. Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, just think now, Jesus has said to this woman what he never said down in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah?
I mean, he made it clear he was the Messiah. Yes, and but whenever the demons said, you know, you're the Messiah, yeah, he said, shut up, keep quiet for the moment. And it's only later on, after his resurrection, really, Jesus says, you tell him. Yes, but up to then, he's not said it openly. Why didn't he make
it? Doesn't he say to his disciples before the crucifixion, pretty plainly and openly,
yes,
I'm going to die,
yes,
and I will rise,
yes,
again. Very, they didn't actually see it.
No, no, well, it's something that's pretty mind-boggling until,
yeah,
you've gone through it, really.
Yeah, so this is the only other occasion.
This is a remarkable occasion.
Open about who it,
yes,
is.
And then the locals, the local group, town, whatever it is, get the message as well.
Yeah.
Why does Jesus do it so plainly and obviously here? Is because there aren't any political implications.
Yeah, yeah.
If Jesus had done it down in Judea,
yeah,
they'd,
yeah,
want to make him a king and mess up his messiahship role altogether. Whereas here, he can,
yeah,
say, I'm Messiah, and they're not going to mess it up.
Well,
yeah,
they might have wanted to kill him in Jerusalem.
Yes, yes.
To be quite,
yeah,
honest with this woman, it's just come to me, I didn't say it further, but I just feel from that statement, she is seeking.
Yeah.
And she's said it, and it says, if you seek, you'll find.
Yes.
So he's,
she might have, she might well have been, well, the fact that Jesus was going there to meet her, I suspect that God was working at the other end for her when she was...
And after all, if,
yeah,
she was a human being with five husbands and now living, yeah, with somebody, she must have been doing some seeking,
yeah,
as a human being.
Well, I generally feel she was a damaged lady, she'd been messed up,
yeah,
so much, she's got to think, what's it all about? So,
yeah,
maybe this is crying out to God, yeah? Yeah. Anyway, I'm the Messiah, Jesus says. Have we got to stop there?
No.
We've run out of time.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Do you think she was being a bit cynical, actually?
Earlier on, yes.
You know, she didn't believe that he was this Messiah that was coming.
Oh, no,
she
no.
She said, well, are you greater than...
No, she said that before. She said that before.
Yeah.
And then Jesus starts digging away, really, in what he's saying here. How much more, we don't know what he said, I don't know, but she leaves various almost immediately after this, and we'll have to leave now, I'm afraid. But the point being is, she has got it. She's definitely got it, because she goes away and tells it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think that because of who Jesus is,
yeah,
when he started talking to the lady, the power of God was breaking some barriers,
yeah,
some doubts in the woman.
His presence,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, his demeanour, the way he's treating this woman, I bet it's the first time she's ever had a reasonable relationship with a man in her life who's respected her and loved her and cared for her properly. I mean, that must sort of make her feel, oh, here's somebody real at last, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, we'll have to leave it there, and we'll join the disciples next time. Oh! Right. It's the cliffhanger. We'll have to wait for this one. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. You love people, and you love them so deeply. You'll break into all the things that affect our lives and that we can hide or be embarrassed about, Lord. Thank you. Nothing's hidden from you. And Lord, that's a great relief to know that, Lord, that we can cast all our cares on you because you care for us. So we bless you, Lord. We thank you for this dear woman. We're going to meet her one day, Lord, and we thank you for how you dealt with her so graciously, Lord. Help us as we seek to share you with others, Lord, to know that it's you working through us and that we can be as gracious and gentle as you were with her. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.